Well, the scripture for this morning is Psalm 119, verses 9 through 16. 119, 9 through 16. Either just listen or read along to this portion of God's Word. How can a young man keep his way pure? By keeping it according to your word. With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me wander from your commandments. Your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have told of all the ordinances of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches. I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. As we work our way through Psalm 119, we come here to the second portion, and we look here this morning at pursuing God's word, which asks the question, what do we pursue in life? There are all kinds of things that we can pursue, and we do pursue. You can pursue a job, or you can pursue education, you can pursue a relationship, pursue a hobby, all kinds of things that we go after, that we strive after, that we spend time and energy to try and advance in. And those can be good things. They can be very worthy and noble things to pursue. But this psalm reminds us that over and above all of those things, and number one on our list of things to pursue ought to be the Word of God, and ought to be the God who gives us His Word. That we ought to be expending time and energy pursuing His Word, because in His Word we get to know Him better, we also get to know ourselves better, and we get to know how to please Him better as we've been called by His grace to live faithfully in Him by the power of the Spirit and by the power of the Word. That is, it's in the Word that we learn how to please the God who has graciously saved us to belong to Him, to live lives that glorify and enjoy Him. And so we'll be looking this morning in this portion in how we are to pursue the Word of God to those wonderful ends. And so first, to seek the Lord in verses 9 and 10. Psalm 119 again is an acrostic song. The first letter of the first word in each section is working its way through the Hebrew alphabet. Today we'll be looking at that second section, which in most or many English Bibles will be given the title Beth, as Beth is the second letter in the Hebrew alphabet, or verses 9 through 16. And the overall theme of Psalm 119 as a whole is a focus on the role of the Scriptures in the life of the believer. And here we come to the Beth section, which points us to the Word of God as a blessing and a grace to us in our godliness as we strive and pursue a life lived before the Lord. The Word is given to us to help us and to guide us in living of our lives before Him. But we must also faithfully pursue that Word. Expend time and energy and prayer in being in the Word and seeking to see that Word applied to our lives by His grace and power. Our verse 9 begins this section by asking the question, how can a young man keep his way pure? Now, that does not exclude females, that does not exclude the middle-aged or older men from the answer or the rest of this section. This will apply to everyone. So everyone who's not a young man does not have to stop listening at this point. But it answers the question, how can we keep our lives holy and pure before Him? And young men, if you're feeling put upon, the young men gathered here, however that might be defined, are singled out because young men are at a time and place in their lives when they're just getting their bearings. They're becoming who they will be in lots of ways. And there's an unsettledness to the life of young men. And I think events in the world show that to be true, that young men often get into all kinds of things that they ought not, even godly young men, because they have not yet settled into a godly pattern of how to live. And so here we're reminded of laying down that pattern, laying down that pursuit of life and godliness through the Word of God. But certainly this also applies to all of us. It's always a good time to start a new day, to start a new direction in service to the Lord. So we can begin this any day, to begin and change our direction and way in service to the Lord in pursuit of His Word. So all of us really need to ask this question, how can I keep my way pure? And God's gracious answer here is by keeping it according to the Word of God. We're told to keep our lives and our conduct in keeping with God's Word, in keeping with His Scriptures. And as we do this, we will be pure, we will be clean. Now, if that sounds overly simplistic, it is. Clearly, life and situations are much more complicated than that. But there is this simplicity to it to draw our attention back to it. Sometimes we also make situations a lot more complicated than they actually are. Let's come back to the Word of God for direction, for that way in which we ought to live. We've been redeemed from sin and we've been given God's revelation of how we are to live and how we are to know how to be and act before others in Him. As believers, we've been rescued from our sins by the grace and the mercy that we enjoy in Jesus Christ as we have trusted in Him to salvation. And so we're reminded here right away that we have been set apart to be holy. And we've been set apart totally by God's grace. We're reminded, as we think of being set apart, for how are we set apart? Well, set apart by what God has done for us in Christ, all by His grace. That Christ has come to be a substitute for us, that He has lived perfectly for us, that He has taken the wrath which was due to us for our sins upon Himself. That He is risen from the dead and ascended to the Father's right hand, and that we're called to trust in Him, to be reconciled to God. And this is all by God's grace, all in Jesus Christ. Romans 4 reminds us that righteousness will be credited to those who believe in Him who raised Jesus our Lord from the dead, who was delivered over because of our transgressions, was raised because of our justification. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. The holy God who has gone to all of those great lengths to save us from our sins then calls us to live a life that shows His grace and His power in our life, that He has delivered us, that He has saved us, and He has called and equipped us to live a life that is pleasing to Him. Jesus tells us in his prayer to the Father, which he lets us overhear in John 17, sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. And so Jesus prays for our sanctification, that we would grow in holiness. And he gives us the word to that end, that we would know the truth and live in it by his power. And so our verse 9 says that we are to live according to that word. Notice also that verse 10 speaks of a pursuit of the Lord himself and his power as we do this, as we desire to live our lives in godly ways before him. The pursuit of godliness is not to be some cold legalistic thing for the true believer, that we check off boxes like the Pharisees who tried to obey the word of God without God. That is not what we're being called here to do. We pursue the God who has called us and set us apart. And we do that by also pursuing his word. We pursue him. And as we pursue him, we also seek to know his word and live from the heart those things he has given to us. Notice that it is from the heart that we are to pursue this in our verse. From the deepest heart, part of who we are. That the Lord is to be our deepest love and our greatest interest. And he is our direction, and in service to him we look to his word. Psalm 73, we sing, "Whom have I in heaven but you? And there is nothing on earth I desire besides you." Philippians 3 and 8, Paul writes, "I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord." And so it is this pursuit of a relationship with God in our salvation in Christ, by which we also pursue holiness by his word. And we do not separate those things. Part of that pursuit of Christ, pursuit of the Lord, is a pursuit of godliness and obedience out of thanksgiving for his grace. Jesus himself says, "If you love me, keep my commandments." How do we show how we love Christ? Well, we do it by obeying him, and he is pleased with that obedience. Now, in that obedience, certainly we will all struggle. Paul writes in Romans 7 at great length, but I'll just quote verse 21. "I find the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good." But the struggle is wonderful. Not that the struggle is wonderful in and of itself, but having the struggle is wonderful. We have been delivered from slavery to sin, and we don't want to do that anymore. And so there's a blessing and a grace in desiring God's word and wanting to live lives that are pleasing to him, because we know his grace and we know that salvation in Christ. We are fighting against those sinful desires in us. And so that in and of itself is a wonderful thing. That is presence of God's grace and power in us. And so we pray in verse 10, "Do not let me wander from your commandments." There's a recognition there, even as we desire to keep his commandments, that we cannot do this on our own. We cannot keep our way pure by our own power. We need the Lord's grace. We need the Holy Spirit's power. And as those who have been redeemed in Christ and set apart, we have that power. Romans 8 reminds us, "If by the Spirit you are putting to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For all who are being led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God." And so, as we have been redeemed in Christ and we have the Holy Spirit in us, we will be able to put to death the deeds of the body, because he empowers us both with that desire and with that ability. His grace is sufficient for that, and his Spirit empowers us to those ends. And yet we are called to act. Paul there in our psalm here reminds us that we are to be pursuing those things. We don't just sit back and say, keep us from sin and do nothing to pursue godliness or to die to sin. We are to be active in our obedience and doing those things. But we recognize the whole time that it is God who is empowering and enabling us. And so we humbly recognize our weaknesses and we pray for his promised strength and his promised conviction that only believers have. Certainly our failures are our own. But in Christ, our obedience is achievable and is achieved because of the Holy Spirit's power. And that's an evidence of our salvation. Ephesians 2, Paul reminds us, by grace you have been saved through faith, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand so that we would walk in them. And so as we seek the Lord and seek his word, we walk in them and we obey his word by his power. Second, seek his word in verses 11 through 14. And these verses point us to the blessing of God's holy and inspired word as the means by which we are directed, and he grows us in godliness by the Spirit. Verse 11 has us sing to the Lord, your word I have treasured in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Now, to treasure something is to value it, and then because you value it, you seek it out, and you protect it. So the believer here has a great interest in the Scriptures as we recognize their value and as we pursue them. The Scriptures are a blessing to us in many ways, as they are God's revelation to us, his special revelation to us. And they reveal his nature as the triune God. They reveal ourselves to us and our nature. They reveal the nature of the world to us. They reveal the gospel to us. They reveal so much about ourselves and the world and the Lord. And so we're to see that value in them. But here specifically we're to treasure it, because by treasuring it we keep from sin. The more we know God's word, the less likely we will believe lies or be swayed by bad and ungodly counsel from others, from the world, or from ourselves. We're to value the word of God above any words of men or of ourselves. And we are to treasure it here. And we're to treasure it deeply in our hearts, the deepest part of who we are as people. And that's more than just knowing it. It's more than just memorizing it, although I understand that this verse is often used in connection with the value of memorization of Scripture, which is great. We ought to be doing that. But we can know it and have it memorized and not treasure it. We're here to take it to heart, to value it, to see its goodness and its necessity and the incredible value of its truth as God's revelation. Desire to see it change who we are as people as we read it and understand it and submit to us. We don't just want to learn it like we can learn other books. We want to see it impact who we are and God promises that he uses it to that purpose. We also value it above all of the counsel that we might receive from this world. John Calvin comments, "Here we are reminded that however men may be convinced of their own wisdom, they are yet destitute of all right judgment, except as far as they have God as their teacher." And so we're reminded there to submit our own ideas, what we hold to be true, in submission to the Word of God, and to treasure God's Word in our heart to that end as well. Verse 12 follows up on that. And in that verse, we are humble and teachable in our attitudes towards the Lord as we approach His Word. We sing, "Blessed are you, O Lord, teach me your statutes." It can be difficult to be taught sometimes, to realize things that we had believed or things that we have always done, things that we like doing, are sinful or wrong. And while we might eagerly say on the surface of things, "I bless you and thank you for your word, Lord," in this verse, it can be hard to be humbled. And so there's a real calling here to seek this out in the truth of our own lives, to be humbled before the Word of God, to repent when we're wrong in our behavior, in our thoughts, in our beliefs, to submit to His Word. But there's a blessing there, because we are so often wrong. And there's a blessing to being taught by God's Word, by God Himself. And we are to be teachable as we approach the Word of God. Isaiah 66 and 2, the Lord says, "To this one I will look, to him who is humble and contrite of heart, and who trembles at my word." Psalm 143, we sing, "Teach me the way in which I should walk, for to you I lift my soul." So again, there's that humility and that teachableness that we ought to have and must have as we approach God and His Word. In our experiences here, some here have been teachers, all have been students, and we've known times in which we've not been teachable. We've really not been into it. We've known other students in school or had students as we've taught. They really weren't there to be taught. They were just marking the time. We are not to be those people. We wouldn't outrightly do that in connection with the Lord, but we can in the way in which we attend the Word. Are we desiring to be humble before it, to be changed by it? And that is not always, in fact, it's almost never dramatic. It's usually a slow process by which He changes us. But the attitude still matters. Are we humble before the Lord? And He promises that that word will have impact in who we are. Hebrews 4, "The word of God is living and active, and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing as far as the division of soul and spirit, of both joints and marrow, and able to judge the thoughts and intentions of the heart." And so that is the impact that God gives His Word. So as we approach personal devotions and sermons and time in the Word, we are to approach it with that thought and with that truth in mind and be submissive. Romans 12 reminds us, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." But verse 13 adds that we then speak with our lips all of the ordinances of the Lord's mouth. In other words, what He says to us in His Word, we then speak to others. Now, that doesn't mean that all of us are called to be teachers, but it does mean that we're all to be taking in the Word of God, and by His grace and by careful attention to it in prayer, we are to bring it to those around us, that it is to be so much a part of who we are that it's part of our language as we speak to others. And this isn't that we pull out our Bibles and we quote the Bible at people all of the time, every day. Although that has its moments. Maybe we ought to be doing that in appropriate times more. But certainly it is to be impacting who we are so that the Word becomes what we say as well. The Word of God points out our need of Christ. Romans 3. By the works of the law, no flesh will be justified in His sight, for through the law comes the knowledge of sin. And so as we talk of the events of the day, it's okay to bring up the Scriptures. It's the Word of God and the Gospel of Christ that God uses by His grace to bring His people into salvation in Christ. Paul writes to Pastor Timothy in 2 Timothy 3, "You have known the sacred writings which are able to give you the wisdom that leads to salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus." And so, are we to live the gospel before others? Yes. We also need to say it, speak it, or bring people under the preaching and teaching of it. To faithful believers, we're strengthened and we build each other up as we interact in the Scriptures. Colossians 3, "Let the word of Christ dwell richly within you, with all wisdom and admonishing one another with psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with thanksgiving in your hearts to God." That would refer to worship for sure, but it would also refer to us having the Word in our hearts in the Psalms, and that just peppering our conversation. And the point is that the Word of God becomes such a part of us that it becomes part of what we say. And we see its value not only to us, but to all people. We're not shy about bringing people into contact with the Word of God. In this day and age in which it is less and less a part of everyday conversation, I think we have to really think about how to do this, but that we ought to be doing it. Verse 14 then has us sing, "I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies as much as in all riches." Testimonies, or testimony, is scripture. The word in Scripture here that emphasizes the Word of God being a revelation of what is true, what is God's will. And these testimonies of God, the Scriptures, create a way, a direction, a path. And it's this path that is the most valuable path above all riches. In a sense, this verse answers our request from verse 10, "Don't let me wander," as here we're given a path. Okay, here's how you stop wandering. I keep you on the path. I've given you the Word of God. Walk this path. Notice that we also rejoice in this path of God's revealed will. That there is a joy in having direction. That there is a joy in following Christ and in living according to the Word of God. While we can focus here on the blessings of seeking to grow in obedience and in pleasing Him as we live, there's also a joy in living lives of trust and of love and of direction as we have confidence in His directions for living, as we have confidence in His covenant promises. We are tempted to follow the world. We're tempted to follow other paths. put our confidence in others or in riches or in worldly wisdom. And certainly left to ourselves, we admit here that we would be directionless and that we would stray. And so here we're reminded to keep on this path, to value it above all other counsel that we might hear, even in our own heads. That we rejoice in Christ, we rejoice that we have direction in a world full of people that are directionless. And this is true riches and true value. Psalm 146, I will praise the Lord while I live. I will sing praises to my God while I have my being. Do not trust in princes and mortal man in whom there is no salvation. How blessed is he whose help is the God of Jacob, whose hope is in the Lord his God. We're also reminded to take joy and delight in the promises of God here. And 2 Corinthians 1 reminds us that no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him the amen is spoken to the glory of God. That there's joy and there's delight and there's contentment in the Lord and in his direction, in being in the Word and seeking to live our lives according to it, to be changed by it and comforted by it, all of those blessings that come from it. That we pursue the Word of God, pursue the Lord in it with devotion and with diligence. So third and finally, to meditate on his word in verses 15 and 16. And these two verses close the section by declaring to the Lord that we will meditate on his word as we live out our lives before him. Verse 15 has us saying, I will meditate on your precepts and regard your ways. As with the entire psalm, notice that this is not merely a statement that you and I will read the Bible, although we need to read the Bible. This is an expression directly to the Lord that we will dwell on it, that we will meditate on it, that we will repeat it to ourselves, that we'll mull it over in our heads, that it has been given to us to change who we are. And so we dwell on it. And so we don't attend to the scriptures the way in which we attend to the newspaper or to other documents or books that we might read. That we are to spend time in God's Word and take it with us and consider it and think it through and pray about it, to seek to be impacted by it. And we see in verse 16, I shall delight in your statutes. I shall not forget your word. There is delight here because God has written it and delivered it to us. And I think that's a good reminder, too, that we can get used to Scripture. We can get used to having it. We can get used to devotions. And daily devotions are not always very exciting. Sometimes we're in long stretches where we can read it and we can think about it and we can pray about it. And there's no eureka moment. And there are no, you know, stars and fireworks going off. And that's okay. That's to be expected. But we are never to lose our zeal and our excitement for the way in which God works through it. He works often through the slow and the uneventful. It doesn't have to be a spectacular thing for it to change who we are. As we take in this information, as we take in his revelation, as we learn from the examples of others and his covenant faithfulness over the ages, it will slowly change who we are by the power of the Spirit. And so we are to remind ourselves of exactly what it is that we're reading. that we are reading the very Word of God. That God has written a book, and He has given it to us. We can have it so long and all grew up with it, that maybe we forget the impact of that. If someone really famous or influential wrote us a letter, we would probably frame it and hang it on our walls. Can we have that kind of remembrance of what the Word of God is to us? That God has written a book for our blessing, and that He reveals Himself to us in it, that we might delight in it and delight in Him. Verse 16 reminds us there that we find delight in His statutes as we learn what is true and what is right, and that we want to live in ways that are pleasing to Him. And so we're reminded that He loves us and guides us in that way, that we have direction. And so as Christ has loved us in grace, we desire to love Him and to desire to do that through time in His Word, and desire to live for Him, desire to know Him better. We're encouraged in 2 Peter 3:18, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so, in the Scriptures, we not only learn how to live as those redeemed, but we learn more of our Savior, more of our God. What is He like? And how can we draw closer to Him? And what a blessing that is, to know Him better, to know how to live before Him. And so, whether we're young men or not, this is our blessing and our joy, to pursue the Word of God with a young man's energy, and to remember that He has given it to us for our blessing, to draw us closer to Him. After all, it has been written, man's chief end and man's chief and highest end is to glorify God and fully enjoy Him forever. And so let us seek His Word with that purpose. Let's pray together. Lord God, we do praise You and thank You for this portion of Your Word, and ask that You might apply it to our hearts. We thank You for Your Word. And we ask that as it is so commonplace in our lives and in our homes, that we would not take it for granted. That we would praise You and thank You that You have communicated and revealed Yourself to us in it. That You call us to Yourself in Jesus Christ through the Word of God. And that You, in our salvation, direct us as to how we are to live as Your children by that Word. We ask that we would approach the Word with enthusiasm and with diligence, that above all of the valuable things we can pursue in this life, that we would be pursuing You and Your Word above all others. We thank You in Jesus' name. Amen.